Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Psalm 37 begins with a profound admonition. Fret not. You know, those two little words are great. Fret not. A lot of times people like to remember something from the scripture because it helps them in times of difficulty. And the simpler the passage of scripture they remember, then the easier it is to recall it. Like in the New Testament, Paul says, pray without ceasing. And oftentimes we're reminded that when we're in the middle of a difficulty, we can pray. And we're reminded to pray because of those three little words, pray without ceasing. Sometimes we're, you know, down. And then we're reminded that Paul said, rejoice evermore. And suddenly we look up and begin to think about the blessings of God instead of the difficulties of life. And our heart cheers up. And those little admonitions, pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore. God loveth the cheerful giver. Little things like that. They really give us direction in our lives. And so Psalm 37, verse 1, fret not, is a great admonition because it's so simple, and it reminds us that when we find ourselves worrying, when we find ourselves fretting, when we find ourselves upset and irritated, hey, settle down, fret not. And it's a great, profound admonition. Now, to fret means to cause to suffer. Emotional wear and tear. That's what fretting is. It causes you to suffer emotional wear and tear. Another definition, trouble persistently. It's like it won't let you go. Here are some other words that define fret. Vex, torment, worry. All of those are according to Webster's dictionary. Now, we need to be reminded not to fret, particularly in times like the ones we're in right now, in these times. And the reason we need to be reminded not to fret in times like these is because there's plenty to worry about. Christians, according to this text, worry about evildoers. In verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Christians worry about evildoers. Christians worry about workers of iniquity. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. In verse 7, Christians worry about men who bring wicked devices to pass. He says, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. As a Christian, when you read the Bible, you know the way things are supposed to be. You know the way way God designed things, and you look around in your world and you say, boy, things aren't working out well at all because of the evildoers, because of workers of iniquity, because of men who bring wicked devices to pass. And so we understand that we're not supposed to worry about that, but the question is, how do we fret not? Okay, I got the instruction, fret not, great. But how do we fret not? You know, if you tell somebody, now look, just quit worrying about it, and they say, okay, I'll quit worrying about it, and walk out, they're going to get in their car and they're going to worry about it. You know, when you're talking to your spouse at home and you're upset about something that happened at the office and your spouse says, well, you oughtn't to worry about it. Easy for you to say, you're not caught in the trouble that I'm in, and so you go and you worry about it. And so that's the way it is. And so you hear David saying, fret not. And you say, well, easy for you to say, you're dead in the grave. I'm the one that's having to deal with it, and it's worse now than it was back in your day. You know, that kind of thing. So the question is, how do we do it? And David tells us in these first nine verses of Psalm 37 how to fret not. To keep from fretting. Number one, you must trust in the Lord. Psalm 31, 37, excuse me, verse 3, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord. All right, now what does that mean? Well, you can't do anything about the direction the world is heading. I mean, in other words, evildoers, workers of iniquity, men who bring wicked devices to pass. You have seen court decisions that allow abortion. And because of your understanding of the Bible, you understand that that is the death of a human being. That's a murder. And you said, "What? We can't stop it. What are we doing? You know, this is terrible." All right, you see great division in your country, and the Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand, and a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. You see that, and it causes you to worry. And you see court decisions that allow the legalization of sin that are clearly abominable in the Bible, and you're like, "Wow, this is horrible. We got to do something about this." And then you realize you can't do anything about the direction the world is heading. The Lord said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And may I tell you something? He didn't do anything to stop these times. He said they were coming, and here they are. He didn't do anything to stop them. And you can't do anything to stop these times. They're here. And they're here to stay until Jesus comes. As a matter of fact, the perilous times are going to get worse. In Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus Christ describes what it's going to be like in the tribulation, he talks about the things that people have to suffer just leading up to that time. And those are already bad enough. But then he says it's going to get worse. So you think, well, we need to change it. You can't. So do you see the futility of worrying about it, about evildoers and workers of iniquity and men who bring wicked devices to pass? Worrying isn't going to change a thing, except it's going to wear you out emotionally and tear you down physically. So your best option is to quit worrying. You say, okay, how? Trust in the Lord. Do you realize the one person in the universe who can take care of you if all hell breaks loose is the Lord? Now remember, he took care of the Jews in the wilderness, and they weren't an easy bunch to take care of. They chided with him, and they complained, and they murmured, and they fought him, and they kept looking back at Egypt. It was not an easy journey, but he took care of them. He fed them. He quenched their thirst. He took care of their little ones. You know, even their shoes didn't rot, and their clothes didn't rot. He took care of them. He took care of the widow Ruth. Now, she had bad circumstances. Her father-in-law was dead. Her brother-in-law was dead. Her husband was dead. Her mother-in-law was bitter. Her sister-in-law wouldn't stay with them. And yet the Lord took care of the widow Ruth. He took care of Elijah in the drought. I mean, Elijah called for a drought, and the Lord said, go down to the brook Kereth. How long was that going to last? Well, not the full extent of the drought. The brook dried up. And the Lord took care of him by ravens and by a widow. He took care of Daniel in the lion's den. That had to be troublesome. He took care of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. That had to be troublesome. And Matthew, if he can take care of all those people, he can take care of you. But you've got to trust him. And I'll just say something that's very simple and very obvious and yet needs to be said. If you're fretting, you're not trusting. People have a funny way of denying the truth. You say, you know, right now you seem to me to be fairly worried about that situation. No, I'm not worried about it at all. I'm doing fine. You are worried about it. You just won't admit it because you know it's not acceptable. It doesn't sound right for you to admit that you're worried. You're worried. And if you're fretting, you're not trusting. So you got to trust him. You got to trust the Lord. He's trustworthy. You know, trust is a two-way street. You have to have a trustworthy person, and then you have to have somebody who can trust that trustworthy person. Are you not trusting the Lord with your eternal life? Are you not going around and telling other people, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be eternally secure? And you say that with so much conviction, and you're so convinced of it. Once saved, always saved. Well, I'm convinced of it too. But listen, if you can trust the Lord with your eternity against the sins that you've committed because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, can you not trust Him with your earthly life? I say you can. David said you can. Trust in the Lord, and that'll keep you from fretting. That's not all. Psalm 37 verse 4 says another thing to do to keep from fretting: you must delight in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Now, there is a peculiar trait in humans. You want to know what it is? We have a tendency to be drawn to disaster. For instance, you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you see a wreck. And you know what you do? You slow down, which is the right thing to do. But you slow down and you look. Oh, they call that rubbernecking. You rubberneck when you pass by the accident. Why? You're looking. So you say, well, no, I was looking to see if I needed to render aid. Well, okay, the police are there now, the ambulance is there now, and you're still looking when you go by. In other words, you didn't see the wreck, you got there. But you're looking. What are you looking for? You know what you're looking for. You're looking to see how badly the person that was in that wreck got hurt or how badly the cars were banged up. Why? Because there's a trait in human beings. We have a tendency to be drawn to disaster. When there's a natural disaster, you hear about it. You hear about a volcano blowing up or a tsunami drowning a bunch of people or a big earthquake or something. You know what you do? You go to the news or you go to the internet or you go to the magazine. What are you looking for? You're looking for pictures. You're looking for video. You want to see what happened. You can't do anything about it once it's already happened. Why are you looking? Why are you wasting your time to go in there and look at it? I'm ridiculing you, of course, when I say that. You just, well, I want to see. Well, what I'm telling you is, as human beings, we have a tendency to be drawn to disaster. Listen, I don't watch movies, but you watch movies sometimes, and you know what they're about? They're about shoot them up and blow them up. Shoot them up, blow them up, and beat them up. Why? You're entertained by that. You read and watch the news looking for something bad that happened. Why? Bad news sells. That's why. That's why, you know, when you turn on your television to check the news, you don't hear good news. Pick up the newspaper to read about the news, you don't read about good news ordinarily. Why? Doesn't sell. You know what sells? Bad news. Stock market crashing. Dollar plunging. That's the kind of stuff that sells. Now, listen. Do you realize what's going on? Here's what's going on. And get this. Listen. You delight in the very things that cause you to fret. Think about it. Now, think about it. You delight in the very things that cause you to fret. And our text says that to keep from fretting, you must delight in the Lord. Now, do you know what it means to delight in the Lord? To delight in the Lord is to have or to take great satisfaction or pleasure in Him. The way to delight in the Lord is to find your pleasure at His right hand, to find your satisfaction in His provision and fellowship, to be absolutely taken by His love, where your thoughts and your meditation are on Him and on Him alone. You say, well, that makes sense. Well, listen, the best way then to delight in the Lord is to turn off all the input that is causing you to fret. If you keep going to the news every morning and evening to see how bad things are, you're going to fret. But if you quit watching the news to see how bad everything is, oh, she said, well, I couldn't do that. I got to be informed. Why? What are you going to do? Have you boarded up your house to leave to go somewhere else because of what's taking place in your city? No. So what action, listen, think about it. What actions are you taking in response to the bad news that you're seeing? None. None. Or very little. Or you've already done those. You say, well, I need to go out and get a gun. Well, you already got one of those. I need to go get some emergency supplies. Well, you already got some of those. You just keep feeding the fret. Oh, that's a great statement. You just keep feeding the fret. You're not taking any more action. You're not doing anything. You're just getting yourself worried. So listen, the best way to delight in the Lord is to turn off all the input that is causing you to fret, and simultaneously turn on all the input that will cause you to delight in the Lord, and then delight in the Lord. Listen, everything that you can do that draws you closer to the Lord is what you ought to do, and everything going on in your life that draws you further away from the Lord is what you ought to cut out of your life. Oh, well, I can't let go of those things. That's what I'm saying. There is a peculiar trait in humans. We have a tendency to be drawn to disaster. Well, get over yourself and get drawn to the love of God. All right, here's another thing. We're told, fret not, fret not. That is a great command, all right, to keep from fretting. You must trust in the Lord. You must delight in the Lord. You must commit to the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit to the Lord. You say, well, all right, what does that mean? Well, it's just what it says. You need to be committed to him. I have a great pastor friend of mine. We had a missions conference, and he was talking to the men during one of our sessions. And he said to them this, a call can get you to the field. He said, a burden can get you to the field. But he said, a call can't keep you on the field, and a burden can't keep you on the field. He said, the only thing that's going to keep you on the field is commitment. And you need to be committed to the Lord. Now listen, when you trust the Lord, which is what you're supposed to do in verse 3, and when you delight in the Lord, which is what you're supposed to do in verse 4, all right, then God will take you along a way that is pleasing to him, and you need to commit your way to him. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Now, you know, sometimes the Lord can take you through some pretty difficult stuff. The Lord took Paul and Silas to Macedonia. And really, I mean, they saw a vision, the Macedonian call, you know about it. You've read the book of Acts, and they saw that vision, and that vision said, you need to go down there to Macedonia, and they did, and they entered into Philippi, which was the chief city there, and they start their normal ministry, and brother, before they know it, they are beat up, and they are accused, and they are thrown in jail, and they are locked up, and their feet are fast in the stocks, and it's midnight, and it ain't good. You know what they did? They sang hymns and they prayed. You say, how in the world could they do that? They were committed. They had committed their way to the Lord. They said, okay, Lord, we're committing this to you. This way you want us to go, we're going. And they didn't stop. So there was an earthquake. There were some prisoners. Obviously, they got saved, although it doesn't say so. The Philippian jailer got saved, his family got saved, and sometime down the road, Paul writes a letter to Philippi, and there's a whole church full of people there, and they are a good church. He said, how in the world could they do that? Because they didn't fret when something went wrong with the way. You say, the way, when you're committed to the Lord and the Lord takes you along his way, the way can be bad. I mean, it can be troublesome. And when trouble is all around you, you can stay the course. Paul said it this way, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Have you ever read Paul's testimony? I mean, that is not exactly what you would call the ideal way to convince other people to get into the ministry. Because everywhere that Paul went, he encountered trouble. Perils, he called them. Perils in the sea, perils of his own countrymen. It was bad. He was stoned and whipped and imprisoned and beaten and starved. It was bad. And I mean, this was Paul's life. He had continual problems. But he didn't falter. He didn't quit. He didn't fret. Why? Because his way was committed to the Lord. And that's what you need to do. There will be trouble, and you are going to experience some difficulty in your Christian life. Just be committed to God, and that way you don't have to worry about it. I mean, because if you think about it, if you're trusting in the Lord, it's up to Him then to take charge of your life, so just be committed to Him. David goes on to say in Psalm 37, just to elaborate what this commitment looks like, he says in Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord. You want to keep from fretting? All right, trust in the Lord, number one. Number two, delight in the Lord. Okay. Number three, commit to the Lord. And number four, Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord. Now, really, really, just think about it. Just think. Just stop for a minute, your mind wandering off wherever it's going, you know, as you think about the things you're worried about. I know how this goes. You've been listening to this message for, 20 minutes now? And your mind during this message has gone three times at least to things you're worried about. And you're getting ready to go there again. I'm telling you, stop. Quit worrying. Now listen. If you are really trusting the Lord, then who's in charge? He is. If you are really delighting in the Lord, then what difference do circumstances make? None. Because your delight is not in the circumstances of life. Your delight is in the Lord, and He doesn't change. All right? If you're really committed to the Lord, then who cares if it's tough? The Bible says, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Right? I mean, you're inspired by it when it's athletes and athletics. You're not inspired about it when it's the Christian life. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Okay, then, so if you're really doing those three, is it not then obvious that you would just rest in the Lord? I mean, it's like, you know, when you're driving your own vehicle, you got to pay attention. You got to check the mirrors. You got to make sure you're going the right speed. You got to have your foot near the brake. You got to concentrate. You can't be texting and talking on the phone, carrying on like that. You got to watch what you're doing. But when you're in a commercial airline and you are flying from, you know, Houston to Chicago, nothing to worry about. I mean, you could be one of those worriers that say, you know, we could hit a bad storm. You know, there could be a terrorist on board. You got to, you know, there's some people, it doesn't make a difference. But the point is, a lot of people on that commercial airline shut their eyes and they go to sleep. Why? Because there's nothing they can do about the flight. They're up in the air. Somebody else is in charge of the flight and they are resting. And that's what you need to do. Trust the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, and then rest in the Lord. You got it? I mean, if you're really doing those first three, you'll be able to rest in the Lord without any trouble at all. That's right. None. Now, listen. This is so simple. Listen. Bad news keeps you tense and takes away your sleep. That's right. If you get a telephone call before you go to bed and it's something that agitates you, you don't sleep well. Or you had a bad day at the office, you come home, you don't sleep well. Bad news keeps you tense and takes away your sleep. Good news cheers your heart and allows you to rest. You hear something real good and the kids tell you something really good and you've had a good day at work and come home, it's been a good week at work. Boy, you have a great time. You sleep good. Right? Okay then. Bible reading. Good music. And prayer all result in rest. Why then would you turn on the 10 o'clock news as the last thing you do before you go to bed at night? Bible reading, good music, and prayer all result in rest. You want to rest in the Lord? Then hey, plug in to His method of rest. You got it. Good Christian music, good Bible reading, good time of prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray, dear God, my soul to keep. And you go to sleep. One more thing. Psalm 37, verses 7 and 9. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Wait. Do you know something? You are not going to change God's timetable one bit. The rapture is going to occur when God says. Jesus Christ is coming back when God says. The Antichrist will be revealed when God says. So you know what you need to do? You just need to learn to wait on God. Now think about it. What does impatience do for you when you're driving? Well, it keeps you tense and it keeps you irritable. What does impatience do when you're waiting for your spouse? It keeps you tense, makes you irritable. So don't be impatient. What does fear cause you to do? Well, it causes you to fret. Listen, when you wait on the Lord and you're trusting in Him and delighting in Him and committing your way to Him and resting in Him, what's the rush? Because once you are doing the first four things, you don't want anything to change until God's ready for them to change. There's no need to fret. When God is ready, Jesus will come. When God is ready, He'll take care of a problem that might be plaguing you right now. In the meantime, you know what you need to do? Just keep your eyes on Him. He'll take care of it when He's ready. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. Oh.